Good morning. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the last couple weeks, with the many, many trips back and forth between our church at the St. Thomas More campus and here, all the different times of moving things to this location, spent a lot of time up and down Creek Road and that little street that we came up last week in the procession, a street that I'd never even thought of before, that Forbush, that quick little jaunt that gets us up to 13th. And a couple weeks ago, I had turned down on Forbush and was heading up Creek Road to get back to St. Thomas More, and I was startled. I had to kind of stop for a quick second because there was work being done on the side of the road. They were tree trimmers who hadn't done, like, I think, I would say more professional construction workers or UDOT workers that set cones out so that you're aware of something before you're actually right upon it. And thankfully, I hadn't gotten much speed up, but I did startle one of the guys that was working. And it got me to, be thinking about today and what this Sunday means for us in our spiritual life, in our liturgical calendar, as we begin the festal period of what's called the Triodion, the time of the three odes, these 3 weeks that get us prepared to begin Holy Lent. So it's not like that tree trimming group that's just there all of a sudden. Think about when you're on a freeway and you're getting on and you see a little line of cones. And it says construction up ahead. So you have that first sign. And then you see some cones that kind of start on the side of the road. And they begin to encroach gradually, one by one by one, as it moves you over into another lane. And before you know it, one has been completely taken away. And you're on your way to your destination, but you've been led away from that construction zone. And then you drive past whatever is taking place, and you're able to go along. And I want you to have that visual in your mind, because a couple weeks ago, we entered that freeway with the gospel reading of Zacchaeus. As I mentioned to you at that time, this is when we have our thought begin to change and to alter just a little bit. To say, wow, when we hear about Zacchaeus up in his sycamore tree, and he's seeking God in a very new and different and dynamic way, we have to put our attention to the fact of what's coming. So that sign's been giving. But now the cones have been set, and we're going to be edged a little bit out of where we normally go and how we normally act and the way in which we normally get there. Because the Triodion period sets aside for us a time of preparation, a time to be gently nudged and moved into a different level of spirituality, a different mindset, if you will, a different way of thinking. Still on our salvation trek, still moving, hopefully, towards our destination where we hope to be and where we need to be in terms of an everlasting life with Christ. But at this time, we're gently guided to do it in a different way. The Triodion period begins with today's gospel reading of the publican and the Pharisee. Because if we're going to be gently nudged into a productive period of Lent, a productive period of coming closer to God through our own self-reflection, and in so doing, understanding Him in a greater, more dynamic way, the only, and I mean the only way we are going to be able to do this is to begin through humility. St. John Climacus, St. John of the Ladder, once wrote that we must let our prayer be completely simple. For both the publican and the prodigal were reconciled to God by a single phrase. Now we'll hear more about the prodigal next week because that's the second week of the Triodion period. But today we concentrate on this abbot of the Church of Mount Sinai, what he wrote for his monk's benefit, and to keep your prayer simple. Do not go on and on and on and a great litany before God, because what can befall us is what happened to the Pharisee. He began his prayer in an appropriate way. I thank you, Lord. But he wasn't thanking God. He was bragging before him. He allowed himself to traverse down a path of self-grandizement and to look upon his brother as one well beneath him, because he did not follow the practices. He did not fast properly. He did not tithe properly. He didn't do anything that was of God in the word of the Pharisee. The Pharisee was a person who was not of an upper class per se, was not the wealthy, was not a member of the Sanhedrin, which is the elite court of the temple. But nevertheless, they were strict observers of the law. They did not come from impoverished families. They did well enough, and they were respected by the people of their society, for they were the ones that maintained the proper order of the law. And for many people, just looking at outside observances was enough for them to say, they're doing it right. I may not be following all the practices that the Pharisees do, but thankfully they're there, because I can see what they're doing and I can know that I follow a little bit of it, but they're there to keep us on track. At least we know what's being done right. Whereas Christ tells us in this parable that those are just the externals. And my dearly beloved in the Lord, as Orthodox Christians, we must be ever cautious, because there are an abundance of externals for us, are there not? You can go to work during Lent and have this drawn out face and plunk your stuff down on your desk and go, ugh. And then your coworkers say, what's the matter? It's Lent. I'm fasting. This is horrible. It's like, well, why do you do it? Because I'm supposed to. And my yaya told me I had to. I mean, there are so many ways that we can just live the externals, but on the inside, you don't want to be doing them. It's just so other people can see us. It's just so others can say, look at that righteous man. Look at that holy woman. It's all what is happening on the inside. That's what St. John Climacus said about the publican, the tax collector. Oh, these were despised people. You've heard me mention them before. These were Jewish people, but who worked for the Roman government. In order to have that position with the Roman government, they had to denounce their traditions religiously, but in order to gain a lot of income, they would offer sacrifices to Caesar. They would offer sacrifices to pagan gods because it was well worth it to them. Because as tax collectors, you've heard this before, they just didn't go around and see exactly what you owed the government. They were not only allowed, they were encouraged to put a little bit on the top, sometimes a lot on the top. And that's how they became very rich. Again, remember Zacchaeus a couple weeks ago. He was a chief tax collector, Luke tells us, and he was very rich because it was a scam. The guys on top took in a little bit of what the other tax collectors were doing. So as you can imagine, these people who were born of the same culture and heritage, born into the same faith, worship with them in the synagogue as children, were now excising taxes for this suppressive government and extorting money at the same time. That's why within Scripture they're used oftentimes as the example of the most heinous, sinful person. He's gone in to be the guest of sinners and tax collectors. They even get their own category beyond sinners. Yet, here is this man representing all that is vile and all that is horrific in the eyes of a pious Jew, standing in the temple, not even being able to lift up his eyes because of his extreme humility, because he knows his sin, he's aware of it, and despises all that he had done. his assessment of self, and is asking God to take pity upon him, and asking God to be merciful to him, and accounting himself a sinner, he is lifted up, and he is, as St. John says, reconciled before God. Not the man who wore the right clothes, said the right things, ate the right meals, and prayed at the correct times. It was all for nothing. It was a shell. It was a mask. It was a farce. So, as we begin this process, as we look to God for inspiration, for us to find the strength to walk this path with Him, because God Himself has humbled Himself. The cross itself is a witness, is a symbol, is the means of God's expressing His humility. And so many of us at times, we want salvation, but we don't want a cross. We want the blessings, but we don't put in the work and the effort to do it. It's as if to say, I want to be a successful lawyer. I don't want to go to college. I don't want to take the LSAT. I don't want to have to study. I don't want to have to go to law school. I don't want to have to pass a bar exam. I don't want to have to be good at what I do. I just want to say this is what I am. And we think we can be Christians in such a way. There's no salvation without the cross. There's no blessings without the effort. By God's grace, He bridges all the gaps when we remove grace from our lives. And by Him, not by what we do or don't do, He allows us and permits us into the heavens. But as we see in today's gospel reading, it is relationship. It is effort. It's not the work. It's the content and the effort of the person. Let's begin on the right step. We are beginning this process, this not being our first Sunday in this church, but our first kind of back to normal Sunday in this church. And it's a beautiful witness and a wonderful symbol of a new beginning, not only for our physical place of worship, but our physical place in the self where the Spirit resides and dwells and motivates. So let us go forward in these weeks of preparation. And then when we enter Lent, understanding that these are also weeks of preparation. And then after that, when we enter Holy Week, those are days of preparation for the greatest event in all history of the universe, the third day rising of Christ Jesus. These events are upon us, and they begin on this day. Amen.